Father, thank you so much for bringing us here again to give us another chance to worship you and to praise you, to uplift your name. And thank you, Lord, for giving us another chance to open your word together. For your word breathes life into this dull and dead world, that it breathes hope into lives that are totally encapsulated by sin. For when we were walking in darkness, you said that we have now seen a great light. It's the light of your Son, and it's His words that continue to shine out into the darkness. His words that continue to speak beyond the annals of time. Timeless words. For your word will always be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto your path. And so that's why we open it up. That's why we seek to read from it, to study it, and to gain deeper understanding. Lord, that we might still hear you speak today. Lord, that we might have one more opportunity to allow your Spirit to move in our life so that we might live deeper and more wonderful, devoted lives to you. All because we were people who chose to listen to your word. Impress upon us this desire, not just now and on Sundays when we meet, but every day, a desire to know you deeper through your word. Desire deeper to listen to your Spirit. Lord, we ask for your understanding now upon our minds. We ask now for your Spirit to speak to us in a unique way, that we may be blessed. And it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, I need to confess something to you all, and you all probably know it by my lack of stories and analogies around sports, that I am not a sports guy. I'm not one at all, in fact. The only time that I cross the bridge into sports is when I either pass by a TV that it's on somewhere where I'm out, or when I try to go out on the golfing range, which the people who have been with me before, they are kind to me and say, "Oh, you're not too bad. You're still learning," which is code for "you're terrible." They know that when they go out there with me, it's going to be a long, long, long day. But that's my extent of what I know about sports. But yet, I do know enough about sports. I know enough about how the games are played to know this, that the most intense moments of a game or its players are in the last few seconds. They're in the last quarter. They're at the last moment. In fact, this past Thursday, to show you how much I know about sports, I went to Blacksburg for dinner with a friend of mine, and we went into a restaurant that I had been in before, and usually when I walk in there, there's music playing, and there's a little bar area, and there's some people over there, But this time we went in, I heard talking coming over the intercom system that they have there, where they're usually playing the music, and I heard a little bit of cheering and such going on. And I thought, oh, well, they're piping a game over. Wonder who it is. Well, I didn't know that there was a TV behind me, and all at once, eating and just sitting there having this conversation with this person I was with, you hear this eruption coming from the bar area. Everybody, even the people sitting around us in the restaurant part, they are just erupting. And what in the world? Did I turn and look at the TV right behind me that the other people were looking at? And it was Virginia Tech bowl game was going on. I was at Blacksburg during a Tech game, and I didn't even know it. You know, that shows you how much I know about sports, but I was there for the last quarter. And let me tell you something. I'm not a sports guy, but I started getting excited because they were excited. Now, I know they lost, but they were still excited because it hadn't finished yet, right? That last quarter, they still had a chance. Every team, every player still has a chance in the last quarter. And it's in this last quarter and in these final moments that they are realizing that the game is coming to an end, and quickly at that. They can see the minutes counting down on the board. They can hear the fans cheering for them louder than they had before. They feel the intensity and the pressure of a victory, or maybe even a loss. And if they're behind, This is the last chance they have to pull things back around. And most importantly, it's time to listen intently to the directions of their coach and rely on each other together to pull out a win in the end. It's exciting, isn't it? Just thinking about it, just placing yourself in a place where the game is going and things are just about over. And in football, it's the last quarter. In NASCAR, it's the white flag. And in golf, it's the final hole. And in life, it's now. In life, the last quarter is now. Church, look all around you and see the shape that your country and your world is in. And I want to stop right now and I want to proclaim, number one, that I'm losing my voice and I apologize. So bear with me as it continues to get a little worse. But number two, I want to proclaim even more importantly that I'm not a doom and gloomist. I'm not one that continues to feel as if all is lost and it's hopeless. At the end times are here and we might as well give up. I do not err on that side at all. So listen to me when I say it. Look at the world around you and look at your country and then read the scriptures. Look at the world around you and look at your country and then read the scriptures. And when I do see the signs of the times before our very eyes. I see the prophecies that are coming true that point to the coming of our Savior's soon return. Paul talked about the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, when he said, "But realize this, that in the last days difficulties will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and you should avoid such men." Men being mankind, which means also men and women. We should avoid such men and women. And then listen to what Jesus says himself in Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 12. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquake. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. They will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold." This is a troublesome time that these scriptures portray before us. A troublesome time to live in. And even a time that, from the way things look now, it's a time that we just might be living in. Because these scriptures tell us what the end times are going to sound like, what they will look like, and what they will be like. Do you feel like right now that we may be in this end times? That we might be in these last days? Or at least do you feel as if we are working ourselves further in that direction? Now, I need to confess that I feel this way on many days. I feel that we are in the last days. But yet, again, I'm not a doom and gloomist. Even though I may feel that way, I am reminded by the words of the writer of Ecclesiastes when he says, your best days are still ahead of you. Your best days are still ahead of you. Are we in the last days? Sure does feel like it. But the reality is we really don't know. That's the truth. It may look like it. It may feel like it. It may seem like it. But we really just do not know. We look around and we get distressed and we get disappointed with the world and with the shape it's in and with the condition of our country and its leaders. And we're even disappointed in each other sometimes. Could we be in the last days? Maybe. But the reality is that we just don't know. But again, reading these words of Jesus and His apostle, they are telling us, and Jesus Himself is specifically telling us, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to be like. But yet He admits that no man, nor the angels in heaven, nor the Son Himself, knows when these last days are coming. When this last day is upon us. But only one knows. Matthew 24, verse 36 tells us that only the Father knows. But they give us these words, they give us these signs, these things that point to the fulfillment of these days coming to pass as a warning. But also as an encouragement. These words are not only a warning, as we tend to think that they are, but they are encouragement. Church, we could be living in the last days. As I see things play out, I feel like it, but yet I don't know. But the reality of it is there's greater fulfillment in the last days coming about today than there was yesterday. And if we have life yet to live, there'll be greater fulfillment tomorrow than there was today. Church, ever since Jesus ascended over 2,000 years ago back into heaven, we have been in waiting for the last days to come about. Waiting for that day that we have no idea when it's going to be. And the only thing we know, however, is that it is coming. And that it is coming soon. Sometimes we get so caught up in the grandeur of heaven and the disparity of this world that we forget that we have life still yet to be lived. And of that life still ahead of us, we don't know how much of it we have left. We don't know how many generations are going to come and go after we are gone. It may be none, it might be one, it might be two, it might be three, it might be multiple. Because again, ever since Jesus ascended back into heaven, we've been in stasis. We've been in waiting for these 2,000 some years. And we're still waiting for these signs of the times to come further and further into view. Church, from the way things look around us and how the climate of the times feels, I believe that we are living in the last quarter of this world. I believe it. I feel it. You know why? because the disparity of this world is starting to make me excited. It's starting to give me not just a warning, but it's starting to give me encouragement. The troublesome state of this world should not be a depressant upon our lives, but rather a motivator. Remember how I described the last quarter of a game? Now listen and hear it applied to the last quarter of life. Don't think so much of life as last days that we are living, but instead as a game, the last quarter. Because it's in these final moments of life that we are realizing that all we have come to know is coming to an end. We see the signs of the times clicking away one by one by one. And we can begin to hear the saints of God cheering us all the way home louder than they ever have before. We feel the intensity and the pressure of our soon victory in Christ over the loss of sin. Some are starting to fall behind, and this is the last chance that we have to help bring them around. And most importantly, this is the time that we need to listen intently to the direction of our Father, to His words. We feel that everything's coming to an end. We need to realize that it's not, and that we need to rely on each other to help pull out a win in the end. Let me tell you something, folks. This life that we live is greater than any game that anyone will ever play, because games rely upon talent. They rely upon skill and ability and even an element of chance. In our faith and in our life, we don't rely on skill. We don't rely on ability. We don't rely on chance. We rely on our God, who has told us in the end of the book that we win. When you read the end of the book, guess what? You're going to see some troublesome times. You get to the last page, and guess what? We win in the end. This is not a game. This is life. And if you are in Christ, your eternity is sealed, and it is sealed forever as a victor over this world and over its ways, over all the things that pull you down. And all I have to ask you is, do you feel the excitement and the intensity of the last quarter that you're living in? When you get depressed about this world, remember those words of the writer of Ecclesiastes. Your best days are still ahead of you. We wonder, how is that possible, living in the last days? How is our best days ahead of us? You have still yet to bring another person to Christ. You have still yet to find greater peace and hope in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You still yet to lay burdens at His feet and watch Him take care of you. Sunday school teachers, you have still yet to teach your best sermon, your best lesson. Preachers have still yet to preach their best sermons. All of us around here have still yet to instore wisdom and truth in our children and grandchildren, as long as the Lord allows us time. Our best days are still yet ahead of us, church. Our best days are going to come to a culmination in our best day, when we say one final goodbye together to this world and one big hello to all that heaven has waiting in store for us. Remember, however, no matter how bad things may look, we cannot close the book on this world until Christ Himself does. No matter how bad things get in our country, in our world, no matter how many people are fighting against each other, remember Jesus said, it's just going to happen. And it should be an encouragement for you to know that I'm quickly getting ready to bring things to an end. I'm quickly getting ready to resolve all these troubles that you have ever had. We cannot close the book on this world until Christ does so Himself. Until He steps out on the clouds, and until the sun rises in the eastern sky, and until the trumpets sound on that great day, we have still yet life to live and work to do. Church, don't get depressed, but be encouraged that there are still people who are waiting to hear the good news and the gospel of Christ, who are still waiting to know the truth of what this life is and what the next one will be. They need to know that this world provides false hope and heaven provides every sense of wonderful hope, true hope, that they could ever know. They need to know that no matter how bad their life is here and how bad the world is going to continue to get, that heaven is going to make everything worth it all. We have still yet to see the best things in our lives happen. And church, there's going to be some tough days. As that old song says, it's a hard knock life for us, right? There's going to be a hard knock life that we have still yet to live. But yet Christ has promised and He's provided us a way to not only find endurance to the end, but enjoyment. Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This isn't just a promise for the people then or a promise for the people years before us. It's a promise for now and forever and ever. Amen. As long as this life endures and as long as we're finding our hope in Jesus Christ, we will have life and life more abundantly. And He's promised us that the one who endures to the end, when you continue to read Matthew chapter 24, verses 13 and 14, you read the doom and gloom of this life and the reality of what this world is. If you keep reading, if you keep listening, Jesus says something so powerful in those next couple verses. The one who endures to the end, well, he will be saved. Gender neutral. She will be saved. They will be saved. And listen intently to this verse. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then, anybody know what comes next? The end will come. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Church, if we sit around waiting for Jesus, we will surely miss out on the blessing of ushering Him back into this world for one final time. We get caught up sometimes in thinking of how good the days used to be before us, or how good the days were in our childhood, or how good they were for our parents and our grandparents. And that's just the reality. As life goes on, days aren't going to be as good because we are nearing one step closer every day to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But He tells us, to the one who endures, despite the fact that the world is getting worse, to the one who endures, you will be saved. And the only way for Christ to come back is for the church to get busy, to proclaim the gospel. And then, when everyone has heard, church, the end will come. If we sit around waiting for Jesus, depressed about the state of the world, we will surely miss out on the blessing of ushering Him back into this world. What a wonderful celebration heaven will be because we took part in God's great plan for all mankind. Not only accepting it for ourselves, but also for helping Christ share His light in this world. Church, tonight, as you make resolutions for the new year, I want to make a couple suggestions. First, may I suggest a greater fervor for the lost in this world. Secondly, may I also suggest that you ask for a greater passion to live through this quarter of life, this last quarter, these last days that either this world is in or that you might be in. Because all of us are born to die, right? We're all in the last quarter of life waiting. We are not guaranteed another breath. Why not make it a good one? Why not do everything you can to be a part of pulling out a win in the end? Why not ask for that greater passion to live through this last quarter, to stay strong in your faith, so you might encourage others to do the very same? Church, let's make resolutions this year that we can keep. You're going to make a lot of resolutions. A lot of people across the world are going to make a lot of resolutions. But I promise you that you can keep these as long as you ask Christ to help you keep them. And these are more worthwhile than any other thing that you could ask for. Any other thing you could set your mind to do is to bless the world in the name of Jesus. Because church, Jesus is coming soon. Did you know that? Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. That's the reality. People have been singing it for years. They know. We know Jesus is coming soon. My question is, are you ready for Him? Are you ready for Him? And if you are you proclaiming the gospel that others might be ready as well? Because again, the reality is we do not know the day. We do not know the hour. But we do know this, that He is coming soon. We know this for a fact because the writer of Revelation told us so at the very end of the book. He had a terrible life. He served Christ, John the Revelator did, with all his heart and all his soul. He loved Jesus and he suffered for Jesus. Poisoned and it didn't work. Shoved to an island all by himself where God gave him hope in this vision. He saw into heaven. And as the vision was coming to a close, and he knew he was going back to life to write this and to live out however many days he had left, he heard Jesus say these words: "He who testifies to these things says, yes, yes, I am coming soon." And John said, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come." But I love what he said because his words speak and ring out through the annals of time to us today and to all the believers who will ever live until Christ comes back. After seeing his vision and seeing into heaven, he still took the time to put a blessing upon our lives when he said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Would you pray with me? Well, Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today and giving us this another opportunity to bless your name, to uplift that name higher than any other name. And Lord, we know that we are living in the last days, that ever since you ascended back into heaven, people have been waiting for your return, and we still wait. Many of us probably desire you to come back even right now. Looking at the way the world is, it'd just be nice for you to set everything right, for all the wrong to be put to an end. The wrong that others do to us, but Lord, even the wrong that we cause upon ourselves. But we know that you said that you're coming back when the Father is good and ready for you, that He's the only one who knows, and that even you yourself are waiting to receive us to you, that you yourself are waiting to set this world back in its proper order, into its proper balance, to wipe the slate clean and to begin again with you as Lord of all over people who have declared you so. Over all time, where we will proclaim your greatness and goodness and your mercy upon us as we lived forever and ever. Amen. But Lord, we're here. We get depressed sometimes because of the way the world looks. But Father, help us. Help us to see that this isn't it. Help us to see that it's not over yet. That things have not come to a close because you have not called them so. But Lord, help us to be faithful. This last quarter of our world and even our lives, that Lord, we will be those who serve you with great fervor, with great passion, that the world might know the love that we know in you. Give us encouragement. Help us to see beyond this time and beyond this place, to catch a vision of the hope you have for us in heaven. And we might not become weary and lose heart, but we might continue to find our joy in you. Father, I pray for anyone who has not accepted you today that they will know what it feels like to be filled up to the brim with your love and your spirit. That they will give their lives to you and the waters of baptism, that they will die to themselves and they'll be raised in your likeness. I also pray for those who need to rededicate their lives, who haven't been playing this last quarter with every ounce of strength that they could have in you, where they have fallen behind and have yet to get up. I pray that they will ask you to pick them up, to rededicate themselves to service for you. And I pray for anyone who has a burden today upon their heart, their mind, their life, their body, their spirit, whatever it might be, that they lay it at your feet and seek healing today. Lord, I give all these needs to you and ask that you move upon us to not leave this place if you're working in our hearts. It's in that name of Jesus that I ask this and offer this prayer. Amen.